Welcome to Subtle Beast, everybody. I am your host, Foltz, sitting here with my co-host, as always, Mr. Steve Apostolopoulos. Steve, how are you, buddy?
Oh, man, I'm feeling good today, brother. How are you?
I'm doing great. Great. Had a really nice weekend. Can't complain. Not too much has been going on, but I'm ready to rock and roll. We're here in the Studio 1B. We're the place to be. Ready to do this thing.
Different tonight, isn't it?
It is different tonight.
It is.
I like it, though. I do too,
man. There's so much energy in here. This is great.
It is. So, since the last time I saw you, you do anything fun, anything out of the ordinary?
Let's see. We recovered from our trip. That took a better part of a week.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be a lot of sleep you need coming home from that trip.
Yeah. Vegas is no joke, man. Just the travel alone kills you, but the activities while you're there just kill you, man.
Well, I noticed the last time when I came home, I was sore for days in my legs just from too much walking and blisters on my feet and such.
I don't think it's ever... nobody does it justice. When you see pictures of the strip or it's in movies, it doesn't really show the grandeur of the whole thing. The hotels are so far apart, but they look like they're really close to each other.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They're like city blocks apart.
Right. So when you're walking from place to place, it takes a lot out of you.
I believe that. So
that's what we've got going on at my house. How are you, man?
I'm good. Can't complain. You know, it's for some reason we just have a really rainy season around here right now. This whole week's been nothing but rain. So I've just been kind of sitting indoors, watching some TV. But one thing I have been doing a lot lately is a lot of YouTube watching and a lot of different internet searching on the topic of nanotechnology.
Yes, man. When you said nanotechnology to me the first time, I immediately was just in love with the idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's a captivating, exciting, and really deep technology that we have a lot of it in our society and in a lot of our inventions now. Before I think we get too deep into nanotechnology, if anybody's not too familiar with the topic, I'm going to give you the full definition of what nanotechnology is. It is the branch of technology that deals with dimensions and tolerances of less than 100 nanometers, especially the manipulation of individual atoms and molecules.
That right there is the atoms and molecules part is just like the meat of the...
Yeah, the creme de la creme.
Yeah, the meat of the topic, man. There is so much that goes along with that. I love it.
Yeah, when you get down into it and you find out that nanotechnology is working with materials that are the size of atoms, it just blows your mind to think that how are they sitting in these laboratories or and working with this? Because a lot of the things that they make using nanotechnology, they're basically just looking into a microscope the whole time. And I know that you had mentioned earlier during pre-show that you can't even really use your hands.
Right. You can't just take your finger and line up a bunch of atoms.
Oh, yeah. You'd be pushing things all over the place.
I mean, what they're basically using is focused light and lasers to manipulate these individual atoms.
And it just makes me wonder. I mean, everything has to be absolutely precise because you don't got your laser pointed in the right direction, there goes 100 million atoms off in the wrong direction. But
right, they're using electron beams, ion beams, and they're using pressurized chambers to get these atoms lined up properly. So they're really working on things that are just at the atomic and subatomic level.
Yeah, and how nanotechnology really got kicked off was by a substance, I guess, or a material called graphene. And I'll give you a little history about that. And and by the gentleman who discovered it, and what exactly it is. Now, graphene was discovered in 2004 by scientists Andrew Geim and Konstantin Novoselov.
Nice pronunciation there. I like that.
Thank you. They would always get together on Friday nights and do experiments. They were simply cleaning a graphite rock with scotch tape. What remained on the tape afterwards was graphene. These two scientists were awarded the Nobel Prize in Physics in 2010 for the simple but groundbreaking discovery. Graphene is the first two-dimensional crystal. It is the lightest material, but it's harder than a diamond and 300 times stronger than steel. It is also the thinnest object ever obtained. It is bendable and can take on any form. Graphene is a honeycomb lattice form, you know, like a fence can be. It's made of carbon atoms, non-existent in any other materials. It is only a single atom thick, which makes it transparent. It can be wrapped up into a zero dimension called buckyballs. And what buckyballs are is a spherical fullerene molecule. It has a cage-like fused ring structure, which resembles a soccer ball made of 20 hexagons and 12 pentagons with a carbon atom. At each vertex of each polygon and a bond along each polygon edge, one-dimension nanotubes are stacked into three-dimensional graphite. Now, graphene is two-dimensional, so only extends into length and width. The third dimension, height, is considered to be the zero dimension. Researchers are so excited about graphene because it opens up whole new class of materials with novel electronics, optical, and mechanical properties. That's some deep stuff right there.
It is. The end game, I mean, the whole explanation is fantastic, and you said it very well. But that optical part,
right?
Man, when they make something so thin that you could lay it over your eye, and then they can use electronics to energize it, and it transmits pulses so right. that you can see things. Now, all of a sudden, what we had as the Google glasses,
right,
is now laying directly on your eye.
Yeah, and I also read that, and they were talking about the Google Glass actually in one of these documentaries I was watching with these scientists, and they said it's not going to be too far off that you're not even going to have to wear a Google Glass. It's going to be more of like a contact lens. You're just going to put on your eye. I think voice command will take a picture or record, and I don't know. I mean, that there's got to be some, I don't know what the legality of something of that could be, because, you know, you're in a, it get a hold of it as a high school student, and you pay somebody of the opposite sex to, hey, when you're in the locker room, video this. I mean, I can see the good use for it, maybe within like the CIA and, special ops, things like that, because they could probably make contact lenses that would make them be able to see at night without like the big goggles on. But as far as, your regular Joe being able to have this, obtain this, use this to take photos and record, I don't know. I can see some kids getting into some trouble.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about technology at that level, maybe in like locker rooms or bathrooms, they would have like a little blackout where it just wouldn't be able to do things of that nature.
Right.
Like if you're augmenting your vision, it would just kind of go revert back to your normal vision or something.
Yeah, I totally agree. And staying with that same concept, yeah, you know, I've always thought that some car companies should come out with a technology that when you get into your car, your phone can obviously still be able to ring and you can take calls, but it would be great if just like the whole thing of texting would just, there'd be some type of interference and you couldn't text when you were behind the wheel. Like somehow it could tell that you were the driver. That way, obviously, if your passenger wanted to text or the people in the back wanted to, but somebody, I mean, there's millions of dollars there made in that technology, be able to shut that down and probably save a lot of lives as well.
Yeah. I think it would be cool if there was a part of the windshield that was able to lock onto your retinas. And
yeah.
And you would have to be looking out of the windshield, or if you kind of like look down at the radio, like maybe the steering wheel would start to vibrate and remind you, hey, get your retinas back up here in the screen and look through the glass.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's crazy because it's not quite that technology, but before I say what I was going to, I mean, if we're thinking on that, I'm sure there's some scientists somewhere that are brainstorming this idea or whatever. But in my truck that I drive now, it obviously goes to show when you take your eyes off the road, how much your vehicle can even swerve. Because sometimes I'll just be driving and I'll go to just turn the volume up and I'll go look back on my dashboard and it won't disappear until I touch the button. It'll say, please keep your eyes on the road. Nice. At all times. So it knows that I averted my eyes off to turn the volume up or just like reach over and grab something. So, I mean, I would think that the technology inside windshields of that nature to do a lot of good are probably not too far off, if not already out there, and they're just not accessible to us at this point.
Did I tell you that where I work, there is a Tesla car charging station?
No. Well, that's crazy. Is there somebody there that owns one or a lot of people?
It is like plotted from Tesla. So you know how they all like communicate with each other?
Right.
Well, on Union Deposit Road, right behind the sheets, there is these big loops that have Tesla written on the side of them. And I see so many Teslas all the time now because right. It must like bring them, you know, off the exit
And
then tell them that there's a Tesla charging station right behind the sheets. It's so impressive. It's so cool. Every day now I'm seeing so many Teslas.
Now, how long does it take to charge one of them?
One of these days, I'm going to have to take my lunch break and just go up there and watch people charging them.
I want one of them so bad, or at least just that self-driving technology. I just think it's the greatest. But
yeah, I haven't seen, I don't know if they actually plug them in or if they just back it up to the loop or what it is. But
like a self-charging car station, like a cell phone almost.
Right. Yeah, man, that technology is so great.
It is. So, I have a list of a lot of different interesting nanotechnologies that I want to discuss tonight, as do you. And we covered graphene, and that being the, which before we go even further, just speaking about graphene, I mean, these guys were just in their lab one night and they were obviously had to clean off their graphite rock, which they always, you know, that, which is crazy because they probably always use scotch tape, but that night they just happened to look at the other side of the scotch tape and saw this substance and were so amazed by it and started studying it that it won them a Nobel Prize for it.
Yeah, they probably noticed some like larger scale crystallization or something of that nature where just the way the graphite from the rock laid, and they were probably like, man, I wonder what this looks like under a microscope.
Yeah, and from there,
they just broke it down.
Yeah. So, well, let's see. Let's see what else we're going to go into. Here's a good one. Now, this one in particular is pretty fascinating. When I saw a video on it, I was almost beside myself because I didn't even know that you could do this. Now, this particular nanotechnology is called nano bubble water. And what it is, in a nutshell, It was water that was created, obviously, by nanotechnology, in which freshwater fish and saltwater fish can live in the same aquarium within the same water.
That's amazing.
That is. I mean, I was watching the process, and they were using these machines to push a whole bunch of oxygen and bubbles into this water that somehow, I mean, I don't understand it fully, but it oxygenates the water enough that freshwater fish and saltwater fish can live in harmony in the same aquarium. And it's crazy. But beyond that, there were some athletes that actually request this nano bubble water to drink because of how much oxygen is in it versus regular water or Gatorade, that it gives them all kinds of extra energy and, you know, stamina throughout their games, which I can believe. I mean, if it's oxygenated water, and that's going to put more oxygen into your blood, that's obviously going to give you a lot more energy.
I don't think you can have too much oxygen.
No, I don't think so either.
I don't think there's any negative effects to having too much oxygen.
And you know what? I mean, I don't know if you saw this. I did when I was out in Vegas, but they have these bars set up for if you're gambling a lot and you're tired, rather than getting rest or, you know, going to get an energy drink, you sit at these oxygen bars that have like flavored oxygen in it. Yeah, you sit there for like 15 minutes breathing this oxygen, and they're ready to get you back out on the, what they won't do to keep you in the casino. It's crazy.
Well, see, the worst part about it is they're so aggressive in their marketing out there that the girl that was in charge of the oxygen bar was also pitching some product. So the oxygen bar was just to get you over to this girl so she could tell you about whatever product she had.
So it was sitting down at an oxygen bar and basically watching QVC at the same time.
Right. And I didn't want to buy whatever that girl was pitching. So I don't even know that my wife realized we were walking by an oxygen bar at the time. I looked over, and I've been to an oxygen bar before, so I knew what was going on. But I could tell by the look that lady was trying to sell me
right.
stuff while I was doing the oxygen bar. And that's not what I wanted.
Yeah, I always wanted to try one too, just to see if it did give me a little pick-me-up. But well, now I know. I'm glad, because I don't do high-pressure sales very well, so I probably won't. But they had something. Now, granted, I don't go out and hit the bars or the clubs like I used to in my youth, but they had something in a bar locally here where you went down. If you weren't a big drinker, or if you didn't like the taste of alcohol, they had this thing that you would put your mouth onto, and it would just deliver alcohol via vapor, and it would be like equivalent to doing a shot.
I don't know. I remember the oxygen bars in our town.
Right.
I don't know if I remember the vaporized alcohol.
It was in one bar downtown, but I don't think it lasted very long, because I think people were getting a little too drunk just from this vapor. Which, well,
I've actually heard that firemen who go out and drink at night will go into the fire station first thing in the morning if they have a hangover, and they'll breathe the oxygen from the fire masks in, and apparently it straightens you out really quick.
Well, there you go. I mean, obviously, then the oxygen is great. I hope they start like marketing this nano bubble water, because I think I could get down with that. I mean, it's got to be so much better for you than a coffee or, you know, an energy drink. So
you sold me on it just from the definition. I've really never thought of it. I've never heard of it. So just talking about it, I want to have it.
I know. Me too. So do you have anything that you want to throw out as far as...
For that particular part of it, I don't...
Okay. Well, I got a whole list of really awesome things we can go on to. They have come out with something called a nano sensor probe. And what they are is, they are any biological, chemical, or surgical sensory point used to convey information about nanoparticles. And in a medical procedure, what they'll do is they'll use this nanosensor, and it can isolate an individual cell or cells that are sick or disease ridden. So they can use these sensors first to identify if you have a disease such as, you know, God forbid, cancer. They'll use this sensor and be like, okay, well, we know that unfortunately this is the disease you have. We can now go in there with this probe. We can isolate the sick or disease ridden cells, separate them, remove them so that they don't continue to multiply and divide and continue to spread throughout your body. Now that is amazing technology.
It is. There's the white blood cells. That's the count they usually do if you're getting, you know, some chemo or whatever medicine that you're taking, and you know it's destroying your body. And basically, they're trying to destroy the disease before they destroy your entire body. So they're counting these white blood cells. But if you could not damage any of the other cells and just simply eradicate the diseased cells, that is going to add so many years and so many lives to what we have. This is going to be incredible medical technology.
Absolutely, because there are a lot of debates right now and articles written that are starting to question whether or not people are actually dying from cancer or if they're dying from the treatment. Because, I mean, if you look at chemotherapy, basically it's just chemical therapy. They're just pumping your body full of chemicals, not just to kill the bad cells or blood cells. It's killing everything in just hopes of eradicating this cancer from your body. And, you know, and I am one of the people that tend to believe that the chemotherapy is in large to blame for a lot of deaths versus various other treatments.
Right. You hear people say, you know, that person might not survive the treatment. To eradicate the disease. That is a great breakthrough. The nanotechnology in that use, I think, is fantastic.
Yeah. If you can think about what I said to my children recently, I said, you know, I said, growing up as your guys' ages, I was like, the medical breakthroughs that are going to be is going to be tremendous. I mean, your guys' lifespans are going to be incredible. I heard on a documentary the other day that the first person to live to 150 years old has already been born just based on the technology that we have already.
Jeez.
So, that's pretty incredible. Because I think like the oldest person right now is like 115. So to imagine to live to 150. And but you know what? I mean, there's hopes to say that that could be our generation as well. Because if they're saying that person has already been born, maybe it's us.
Right.
Maybe somebody in our age group.
I remember being a kid and seeing, you know, my grandpa when he was 50 and just thinking of how aged he was and 60. And then now you're looking at someone in their 70s and you're thinking that's not even, you know, they're not even old.
No. Yeah. When I was a kid, I can remember when my mom and dad turned 40 because they were only a month apart in age. And when they turned 40 and had parties, people were bringing balloons saying over the hill. Like 40 was, okay, you're old now. And now, you know, I'm 40, you're staring it at in the eye. And, well, heck, I think that 40 is the new 30 for sure.
Absolutely. The people that I see out there that are 40, that take care of themselves and do a few small preventative things, they look fantastic now. There's a lot of things that you can do to remain active and healthy and looking good. So I think 40 is the new 30.
Well, I've looked at a picture recently of Christy Brinkley. She's in her 60s and she could pass for somebody in her late 30s. I mean, she's absolutely gorgeous, stunning woman. And she's standing beside her teenage daughters and they seem like they could pass for sisters. So
that's wild.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that goes along too with having a lot of money too.
Right.
But you know, I saw a hilarious picture the other day and it had a picture of Tom Cruise when he first started out in acting and a picture of Tom Cruise now. And the caption said, "You're not ugly, you're broke." So, because, I mean, you know, he had his teeth fixed and everything. And
right.
But, yeah, getting back on topic of nanotechnology, another great invention is something, it sounds like something that might have been around forever, but it's just in the infancy. It's just called thermopower. And it was developed by the United States and Korea. We had a merger going on with this technology. And they discovered that by igniting a carbon nanotube coated in chemically flammable material, that when you light it, it can trigger a high-speed wave to race along the tube 10,000 times the speed of the spreading chemical reaction. The new phenomenon, dubbed a thermopower wave, it could lead to a way of generating electricity and may enable micro power sources to drive nano scale devices. So basically saying that with this type of power, being able to create devices that, you know, operate like machines on a nano scale. I mean, you're talking about a device the size of an atom, which in a couple of the documentaries I was talking about today, now they haven't gotten there quite yet, but they're saying maybe in a few decades, if you have a horrible disease such as cancer, they'll inject these nanoscale devices, which would probably, it would probably be something like, there was a movie back in the 80s called Batteries Not Included. I don't know if you recall that one, but it was like a lot of small little machines that were really cute from outer space and friendly, and they interacted with a lot of different old people. It was like a lot of the same characters from the movie Cocoon. But anyways, that's what, when they were showing pictures and mock-ups of what these little machines would be or do, they would resemble these machines just on an atom size scale. They eject them into your body, and then these machines on their own go and they through your blood and find where this disease is and basically just destroy it or in some way consume it, and then find your digestive tract and you just excrete it out.
Right.
That is mind-blowing. I mean, that seems like something like when I was a kid watching movies of the future, like Terminator technology and stuff, like inject little robots into your body. But they're saying that that type of technology could be within the next 20 to 30 years, which is crazy.
With the nanothermal wave, the amount of space that it would take to house fuel, if it's on a atomic level, would be so small. It would be like, okay, I'm going to get fuel for my car.
Right.
And you just get something the size of a dime.
Yeah.
You know, you don't even need a gas tank anymore or gasoline at all.
Yeah, you would probably just need like a glass tube that you would use like in a lab or something like that. And you'd be like, okay, let me get my, I'm gonna pump gas. Okay, I'm done. You guys ready to get going? But of course, it'll probably be like $5 for every nanomillimeter you purchase or something like that.
I'm sure it's not going to be cheap, and you can't make it at home.
No, exactly.
Which, hey, no, none of us are making gasoline in our backyards either, so.
No, I got enough going on that I don't think gasoline is going to be my next problem. I'm not going to say, well, I got a project going on in my backyard right now, and it looks like they're digging for fuel, but that's a whole different story.
What if that was the new craze? You know, they got craft beer.
Yeah.
Now they're doing micro distilleries. What if the new thing was, check out this new gasoline we got. It makes your car burn really good.
I think you'd be killed.
Yeah, sure. I guess you'd blow yourself up.
Well, no. I mean, I think that the powers that be.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I mean, there's been guys within sticking with the topic of nanotechnology, the first gentleman to create the water-powered car, he created a cylinder engine based on nanotechnology that would burn water so that he could drive a car, and it would reach speeds up to 60, and he had videos of it, and he wanted to get it out onto the market. So, of course, some black project somewhere said, hey, we're going to buy this technology from you, and we'll see that it gets into the right hands. You seen any water-powered cars around? No. So now I'm sure he was paid handsomely and probably doesn't care, but they also probably told him, don't make another one of these.
Did they kill him?
No, they didn't kill him.
Oh, that's good.
They paid him off.
Yeah.
But they probably said, if you make another one of these, then...
then we're going to kill you.
Yeah, we're going to take you out. So, but anyway, moving right along. Now, here's one that they've been working on, and they really haven't perfected. It's something called the invisibility cloak.
And it's for real.
It's for real. Yeah, and they've been working on it for some time. And they, you know, they use graphene, like we talked about in the beginning of the podcast. And it's a super, obviously it's a super strong material. And then what they do is they'll get like, they'll put like reflective coating on it that if you pull this cloak over you, not only is it reflecting the atmosphere or the reflecting your surroundings, which would almost be good enough, because if it was doing that and someone was walking by, it'd be like, okay, well, there's the tree and this and that. But from what I read, that it the elements within this are so tight and so woven close together, and the reflective nature that is put onto this cloak is so well designed that when you put it on, not as only reflecting your surroundings, but the light is passing directly through it. So in sense, you're looking straight through the person. So you could walk right by. If they're standing in front of a tree and they have this on, you're not seeing the grass and the tree that's in front of them and such. You're also seeing the tree that they're standing in front of and the trunk and all of that.
Right. The way that I kind of got it conceptually was the nanofibers were woven together, and they were making the light bend around them.
Right.
So you could see the things that are on immediately. You see right through them.
Right.
But you're seeing through them because the light is going around whatever has those things. And I'm sure it can't work on like a whole city block.
Right, right.
But I think that smaller objects, like a person standing in a field or standing in, you know, some grass, you could look at them and not even know that you're looking at a person.
Exactly, because of the way that the light hits and reflects, like you said, it then in turn bends the light and... now you're invisible.
Yeah, you're seeing right behind somebody.
So, I mean, they have tested it. I watched a video where they perfected it on the scale of an atom. And it was pretty neat just to see, because they put this invisibility cloak, which obviously was super tiny, over top of two atoms. And then they crossed this light beam in onto them. And then you could see directly through it and them, well, what appeared to be looking right through them, but the way it was bending, and you could see what was behind these atoms in this petri dish, and it was pretty impressive. So, I mean, it's going to be some time until they have it on the full scale where everyone's walking down the street looking like Little Red Riding Hood until they pull up the hood, and then you're like, hey, where'd he go? Which... you know, there's probably a lot of people that could use that.
You know what? That technology is weird, because you don't want everyone to have that, and you don't want to put it on cars because everybody's just gonna be hitting into each other.
Oh, definitely not on the highway.
There's gonna be a lot of accidents, a lot of people getting hurt.
Yeah, you know what? It would probably work good for would be like, you know, the guy or gal that has repeatedly tried to break up with their significant other, but they just keep getting stalked and they find them out having a good time with their buddies. And it's just like, all right, guys, I'll talk to you in a couple minutes.
I did not see you going there with that. I thought you were going to say hunting because we're already putting camouflage on to look like our surroundings. I thought you were going to say, you know what, hunting, you just put your invisibility cloak on and the, you know, animals will walk right up to you. But yeah, stalking, that's even better.
Yeah. And funny enough that you should say using it for hunting. The military is a lot of the influence in this invisibility cloak. And until they have mastered that, there have been a lot of generals and higher-ups in the military that have requested, until you can perfect this invisibility cloak, we want you to come up with one form of camouflage that is suitable for every area and every different situation that we could be in. That's got to be tough. Because if you're in the jungles of South America and then you're going to the deserts of Africa and you have to have one outfit that's going to camouflage, I don't even know what that would look like.
Well, it would have to be kind of like a gecko.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Where the material would actually assimilate to its surroundings.
That's true.
I mean, if we're talking about technology on a, you know, molecular level, that's possible, especially if it's
true.
If there's an energy source, and I guess what the energy source is and what makes this that material so cool is that the energy source is the nanotechnology,
right?
So if the nanotechnology is producing from motion, or the heat of the body is producing energy from that, then it has enough energy to change or monitor what colors are around it and then change the colors of the material to be that.
Yeah, just like, remember in the 90s when we used to have the hyper color?
Yeah, I didn't remember that until you just said that.
Yeah, man, that was all the rave. You had the hyper color shirts and the hyper color shorts, and when your hands, you just touch them, then you pull it away, you could see the handprint. Those were cool, man. I liked those. Yeah,
they still have those?
You know what? A couple years ago, I went down to the bus stop with my children, and somebody had on a Under Armour sweatshirt, and they were like, hey, check this out, blah, 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 and it had that same type of like hypercolor thing, and all the kids were like, oh, that's so awesome, and I couldn't help myself, and I was just like, I was like, you guys think you were the first ones to have this? I was like, let me tell you something. When I was your age, we had it too. It wasn't Under Armour, though. It was called Hypercolor.
Yeah, I definitely remember the Hypercolor shirts.
And then I got a look of, go away, old man. We're trying to talk. But yeah, man, those were really cool. Now, what they have been able to do for our military or special ops, sort of probably almost like it's probably more for like the CIA or the James Bond type of
the security industry.
Yeah, they've come up with a suit / tuxedo that is bulletproof.
Yes,
and it can stop up to a 9mm round, and it is stab proof, and as long as you're not getting shot with any larger caliber than a 9mm, this is going to stop it. And on top of that, it's not like you're wearing some big clunky Kevlar suit. It is the same material looking.
Looks like an Armani.
Yeah. And because of the nanotechnology with the graphene and the nanotubes that are so strong that they can be pulled so tight that they can now be woven into a fabric, and now you're bulletproof up to a 9mm, and there's not a blade that's getting through there. That would be beast. I would like to have one of those.
I saw some video of it, and the first thing I thought of, because I heard about it, I read about it, before I saw the video of it, I thought, you know, a suit leaves the part open where your heart is.
Right. Well, I'm sure that.
But then when when I saw the video of it, it's like a black suit, black lapel, and then there's a material that goes the whole way up to the neck, and it's almost like mock turtleneck at the top, and then that provides the part where your heart would be. So you're protected the whole way around.
Right. Now, from what I understand, it still hurts like the dickens.
I'm sure.
Because now the material is woven so tightly that it's going to stop the round from penetrating. But the way they showed it was like they took some thin plastic and they took a ping pong ball and they started pushing against the plastic. So, if you do that with like Reynolds wrap with like anything, like real slowly, you'll start to get like that light bulb shape. And then if you pull it away, you still kind of have that shape. Well, that's what's going to happen with a 9mm. It's going to engulf it. And obviously the material is going to go in, hit you still with the same force, which is probably going to break a rib. But that bullet is not going to penetrate into your body.
Right. It could probably still kill you. Like if it hit you down in the kidney,
solar liver, plexus.
Right, yeah. And maybe in the belly, you could probably bleed out from that. It's probably still going to hurt you really bad.
You're going to have a bruise worse than a paintball, that's for sure.
Yeah, but it's not. Some of the other parts of that suit are the nanotechnology is water repellent, so you can wear that suit outside, and in the rain, you're not going to get wet. It's wrinkle resistant, so you can throw that suit down on the ground at night. You don't have to worry about hanging your suit up. It's UV blocking, so if you wear that suit outside, you don't have to worry about getting sunburnt. And it's antibacterial and odor controlling. So
wow.
You don't have to worry about smelling.
Well, so you could be the spy of the century. You could be out dancing the night away at this ball where you're trying to track down the evil villain.
And not get shot.
Not get shot, not sweat, still get the lady, and if it's outside, you're not getting sunburned.
And it doesn't have static cling.
Wow. If there's one thing that I'm super glad is that it isn't static cling. And as far as that water repellent that you were talking about, they also have it for not just water, but any type of liquid. They have these shirts now, and you can buy them now on the internet. They had two guys standing side by side, one with a your regular shirt on from the mall, and one guy with this new nanotechnology. And they took this humongous, and they had pants on too. They took these two humongous buckets of mud and threw them at the guys at the same time. Well, obviously, mall guy was completely covered in mud. Nano guy, it just rolled right off of them, and it was so incredible. Look it up on YouTube. You can find the video, and it's just like, man, I want one of them.
I got to write that down. I didn't see that. I got to write that down,
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating. It would be cool to have it, like if there was some jerk on the road during a rainy day and you're walking by this big puddle and he's like, look at this guy, and comes swerving over and just hits you with this wave of water. And then you can just look back over at him and like, psh, nice try. Nanotechnology.
Got nothing on me, man.
Yeah. Ain't got nothing for you, man.
I tried to write that down, but I just wrote hypercolor.
That'll make you think of it.
Yeah. The buckets of mud. I got to look that up.
Yeah. Man. Buckets of mud. Write down mall guy versus nano guy. You'll find it. Okay. Let's see what else we got. Now this one I'm looking forward to. Not out yet, but it's going to probably be out within the next, I would say, 5-6 years. You're going to be able to have this type of wiring into your clothing that will connect to your cell phone. And what makes this so interesting is that this wiring that connects to your cell phone is going to keep your phone charged by your heart beating, getting the energy and electricity from your heart beating, or you can speed up the charging with the power of your heart beating, or if you're sitting at work in a meeting, just simply tapping your finger on the desk is going to create enough energy to charge your cell phone.
Which, I mean, if you already type all day,
right,
and you could harness the power of all the people typing so they're working and also creating energy, man, that's a win-win.
That is. And yeah, I mean, it'd be so great because, you know, if you're on vacation and say you're down at the beach and your cell phone's on 1%, but it's time to hit the boardwalk, just hook your cell phone up to this. By the time you get to the other end of the boardwalk, your cell phone's charged and you're rocking and rolling the rest of the time.
Right. They have solar cells that are created from nanotechnology that turn T-shirts into power supplies.
Incredible.
Yeah. So you can just sit there in the sun and charge any of your devices.
Fantastic. Now, switching from that back to weapons and destruction, nanotechnology has come up with something called the Damascus steel. Now, Damascus steel is obviously, because we're dealing with nanotechnology, way stronger than any other type of material. Now, let's say you took this Damascus steel and you were to make a sword out of it. If you took that sword and you swung it like a steel lamppost, it would cut through it like butter. Or if you took this and you swung or stabbed at like an anvil, you know, kind of like the Sorcerer's Stone where that sword was stuck inside the anvil. If you were to swing down at it or stab in it, it would go right into it or cut it in half just like butter. That's incredible. I'm sure guys back from the 1700s, 1800s that were guards or of the king would have liked some of this Damascus steel. They talk about Valyrian steel on Game of Thrones a lot, which is like the strongest steel in their world. So that's probably relatively close to this Damascus steel. So that's that one. Let's see which other one we can roll on to here next. Well, actually, you know what? Before I go on to the next one I have on the list here, I actually want to say something about Damascus steel. It's actually a steel that's been around for a really long time, even thousands of years. But what they've done with nanotechnology is the type of coating that they're putting over top of it now is what is making it almost impenetrable, or is giving it the power to cut through anvils and steel posts or any solid object like it's cutting through butter. I mean, it's Damascus steel has been around for a really long time, and it's always been known as one of the toughest steels. But what they're improving it with nanotechnology, with the type of coating that they're putting over it now, which is even improving it and making it even stronger than it ever has been. So
yeah, I can't imagine carrying my sword around and just being able to slash it through like cement or like,
yeah, exactly,
stone. That would be incredible.
I would like to get just my hands on some of that coating that they're putting on. Just be like, okay, I'm going to be going out UTVing today. Let me just spray that all over me.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I, God forbid, had an accident. If you get thrown, hit the ground, all you're going to see is like this big outline of your body, and you're fine.
Now, this technology is so cool.
It is. Now, I was watching a video with Dr. Michio Kaku, which he is one of my favorites. I could just listen to him talk all day long. He's just got one of those voices that I like. And they asked him, with nanotechnology, what would be the greatest invention that you think could possibly ever be created? And his answer was, He said the holy grail of nanotechnology would be something called the replicator. And he said, it makes me think of Star Trek. Now, he's a big Star Trek fan. And he said, in Star Trek, they had this replicator. And all you had to do was basically ask. And it created it out of thin air. He went on to tell this story about his favorite episode when he or the guys in Star Trek, obviously they were in the 23rd century, and there was this really rich guy from the 20th century that had himself frozen because he was going to die of some terrible disease. And he said, thaw me out when you guys have come up with the cure. Well, lo and behold, 23rd century comes along. They thaw this guy out. And once he becomes coherent, he's so excited. He's like, yes, my gamble paid off. He was like, I've had money set in all these investments since the 20th century. He said, call my stockbroker. Call my banker. I want to see how much money all my investments have made, accruing all this interest over the years. And the guys in Star Trek simply replied with, what is money? What is a stockbroker? Because they had this technology for the replicator already. And needless to say, this guy was devastated because no longer did he have his investments and he doesn't have any money. And here he is in the 23rd century, not knowing anybody and has nothing. But if you would look at the bright side of it, they got this replicator. Now you can have everything. I want a replicator.
A replicator to me kind of sounds like a 3D printer, but on a like much advanced level.
Correct. Yeah. I've heard it talked about. I know you've heard me mention Dr. Stephen Greer many times on this podcast, and he has said that that extraterrestrial civilizations actually use something. Now he hasn't referred to it as a replicator, but he says that when they build or they don't build the spacecrafts that they, you know, travel through space and time with, they have something that's the replicator, and they're thinking about it in their mind, and this thing that's just like maybe like a box shape, almost like our 3D printers, but on a much heavier scale or technological scale. And that these crafts just start to form out of thin air. And because he always goes into state that you can always tell if you see a UFO, whether it's ET or man-made by our black projects, because the ET ones are seamless, which they would be if they were being made out of a replicator versus a man making it with, you know, steel and bolts. So he states that ET civilizations do have these replicators. And now Michiakako stated, we are still probably, if we can make these things, probably a good 40, 50 years into the future still, which isn't a whole lot of time to come up with a replicator. But he's also not sure that it's such a good thing, because if you have a replicator, well, then there goes your people working, there goes your economy, nobody needs money anymore. And but the reason why he's so sure of himself that they'll be able to make this replicator is because he stated that a lot of our inventions that we have today, we've taken straight out of Mother Nature being able to create these things. And he says that we as humans already have a replicator. And it's us, the human being. He said, you know, you take a person that's basically just made up of hamburgers, hot dogs, and corn, and 9 months later, you've replicated a human being, basically. He said it's not too far-fetched that we could have one on the scale that if you wanted to have a Coca-Cola, have this replicator just whoop. There's your Coca-Cola. That'd just be fascinating.
I know it's a concept that's almost bigger than thought. It's so huge. I love it.
Right. One other thing that Michiakako had to say. Now, granted, he did say the replicator would be the Holy Grail. One of the things that he mentioned before that is that with nanotechnology, is that people will merge with robots. And it's not to say that, you're going to look like a cyborg or anything like that, that we're going to be able to develop some type of, you know, nano-sized microchip that can be placed into the brain that is going to enhance your intellect far beyond any other human being. And I'm sure since it's connected to your brain, it's going to be able to keep you healthy and, you know, probably make you stronger. And who knows, maybe you're not even going to need as much sleep anymore. And that one seems really believable.
Yeah, because you're looking at the robotics that they have out currently, and there's some that you're looking at it and you can barely tell it's a robot.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. So, yeah, I like what Michio Kaku had to say about merging with robots, and ultimately the greatest of nanotechnology and the Holy Grail would be the replicator. And yeah, basically that's my list of nanotechnology, of things that we currently have and things that we can be sitting on the edge of our seats waiting for in the future, which I definitely want to get my hands on one of those invisibility cloaks. And topping off the list is I'm going to need a replicator.
Yeah, this is one of those subjects that, you know, I'd love to come back and talk about some more. This is one of my favorite topics.
Yes, mine too. So if you enjoyed this episode and you liked it, why don't you head on out to our Facebook page and let us know what you thought. And if you've heard of some inventions that are out there already to do with nanotechnology that we didn't cover, or some that could be coming down the road, why don't you share them with us on Facebook? And speaking of sharing, if you could share this podcast with your family and friends, we would greatly appreciate it. We are out on iTunes, Google Play, and Podbean.com. So spread the word and let's keep Subtle Beast going and this conversation flowing. And we've got a lot of more great things in store for you. But until next time, I'm Foltz.
And I'm Steve.
And we'll see you next time. Take care of one another. Bye-bye.